Our scripture reading is taken this morning from the book of John, chapter 13. John 13. We'll be reading verses 13 through 15. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. This morning, I invite you to give your undivided attention to our pastor as he brings us today's message.
There is a story of an old little church that had very unusual ritual. Every time when they had a church service, at the end, during the benediction hymn, they all turned to their right, where was just a white wall, and they sang the benediction hymn, turning to that wall. Everybody turned to the right. So one of the newcomers, the visitor, asked why they're doing this, and he couldn't get a clear answer. Nobody seems to know, but he was persistent. So eventually, after getting answers like, we always done it, it's our tradition, he found the oldest member of that church who said that, I do remember a long, long time ago when we didn't have a hymnals, the words of the benediction hymn were painted on the wall, because this was the same hymn that we sang at the end. So they painted it on the wall. So that's why at the very end, we always, when we were singing benediction hymn, we turned to the right and we were reading it and singing it. But as time was by, the words faded, the wall was repainted several times, but tradition stayed. And nobody remember why they, at the end of the service during singing benediction hymn, they turned to the right when they were doing this. Many times when we do things, sometimes it becomes so traditional that we don't even realize why we are doing this, because it was done forever. Someone new comes to church and this is the way how we do things. And I'm so thankful that in Adventist church we celebrate communion once per quarter, because I do believe if we will do it every Sabbath, we might gain something, but we might also lose something, that it becomes so routine that we will, by doing it, forget even what is the meaning of it. Because if we will do it every Sabbath, I cannot imagine that every sermon will be about communion every Sabbath. So we will be losing something. And this morning, as we are ready to partake communion, Lord's Supper, I invite us to reflect on particular aspect of communion that is not as much celebrated in other churches: foot washing, the service of humility. Because I know that most of you probably would be able to explain the meaning and reason why we celebrate communion, partaking in the symbols of Christ's body and blood. We remember this. We wouldn't forget the meaning of it. But what about the foot washing? It's interesting. To my surprise, when I was preparing the sermon, I discovered that even Pope does foot washing once per year. Once per year, around Easter, it's a special service when he is washing the foot of his cardinals. It's done symbolically. I don't know, is he really washing or sprinkling, but maybe it builds up his authority as the Christ-like figure. And it's interesting that the head of Russian Orthodox Church, Russian Patriarch, also once per year does this service of foot washing. And it symbolizes something. Why do you do this? Why do you wash each other's feet? It seems very simple in the Bible, but I invite us today reflect and maybe rediscover the deep meaning behind the service of humility, the one that we do always before we partake communion. It's interesting how Christ explains himself. I invite you to open John chapter 13, and we will dwell on this chapter for some time. right after foot washing, Christ asked very specific pointing question. Verse 12. When he, Gospel of John chapter 13, verse 12, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. Remember the question that we asked at the beginning, that we need to understand why we do those things. And here Christ asking his disciples, do you understand why did I do this? And then he begins to answer it. And this is when it's very interesting and very crucial how Christ himself explains why he washed his disciples' feet. Verse 13. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. I want to stop right here. And invite us to begin answering the question of what is the importance and significance of foot washing with this expression. Christ begins it with establishing one important thing. He says, you call me Lord and teacher, and it's rightly so. This is who I am. Why does Christ says those words? In their mind, Lord, teacher, master, it was the one who is in a higher standing, the one who has authority over others. And Christ is here saying, this is what it is. I am your Lord or Master. I am in a higher authority. He is establishing it very clearly. The one that probably close coming nowadays, well, we know that a job you have executive officers, but probably the most clear and distinct it expressed in the military, in the army. In the army, everybody wears uniform and they have certain signs, ranks. And if you in the military and you encounter someone who has a higher rank, you're supposed to salute. And when they call you, you're supposed to report and just say, yes, sir. So which establish it right away that you under this person authority. It's very clear. And here Christ is saying, this is what it is. He is establishing his lordship. What would be implication of it? And then, verse 13, you call me, verse 14, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. We always understand very clear this part, that Christ set an example that we should follow his example and wash each other's feet. But many times we skip this part, that this example starts with his lordship, that he is God and our Lord. This is when example carries authority and power. If you look back at what happened during foot washing through this slide, it not only makes sense, but it's interesting to see it. When Christ begins to wash disciples' feet, you remember how they react to it. Verse 6, the same chapter. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, you are doing, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. I invite you to look at this encounter in the light of Christ being our Lord. What is happening here, it's almost Christ as Lord, as the one who knows what he's doing, as the one who has authority, doing something specifically to Peter. And Peter is here saying, no, I know better what you as the Lord supposed to do. In other words, this is a snapshot of our picture of God and maybe of our relationship with God many times. We formally, or in our lives, we recognize that Christ is Lord of our lives. But we don't fully understand what implication of it. We want to have God in our lives, but we want to tell God what to do and how God is supposed to behave and things that he's supposed to do in our life. We have a picture of what God's supposed to do. And here is Christ not fitting the picture of Peter. He's outside of Peter's box, or the frame of references that the Lord or God should do. And Peter says, no. You know, I didn't know this expression that they have in the military in the United States. If they are not greeting the officer properly, I read this expression, they bound to shout, drop and give me 50. Is that right? Those of you who know, drop and give me 50. So establishing the right authority. And pretty much Christ here is doing the same thing. He is saying, Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. To put it in very simple language, this is the door. If you are not doing this, if you're not allowing me to do what I'm supposed to do, if you're not recognizing me as the Lord, that I have authority to do it, just leave. You have no part with me. It's the most, heartbreaking thing that Peter can hear. It's very clear. Peter abide, you know. Then he said, wash. Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. We know the rest of the story. But it's interesting the dynamics that is taking place here. That Christ, as the Lord, he is doing some things in our life. He's teaching us something, and many times we recognizing that he is the Lord, but not fully understanding what it means. Following God, accepting his lordship in our lives, means doing what he did, following his examples. And sometimes we come to the moments when we cannot understand why, or it would be difficult for us to do what Christ asked to do, and we simply need just to do it. We come in our hearts to the situation when there is a conflict between us, our wants, our desires. Sometimes they seem very noble. Like Peter's desire was very noble. He had a very clear picture of what God is going to do. He had a picture of what Christ was supposed to do. And what Christ was doing wasn't fitting this picture. But Christ established his authority, he said, you have no part with me. And later on, he reaffirmed it, and he said, I am your Lord. Therefore, you do what I did, follow my example. And many times, when we wash each other's feet, this is the service of humility. This is when we follow Christ's example. Humble ourselves before the Lord and others. But a deeper level, the deeper meaning of it, is we abiding, recognizing Christ's authority. We're doing this because he is our Lord. We reestablishing His authority in our life. This is the essence of source of humility. When you humble yourself, when you accept this, you pretty much surrender your will and you're saying, yes, sir, to God. You're accepting it. This is the essence of service of humility. You're accepting it that He is the Lord. It's not just making us feel good and just like Pope once per year, he does it to reestablish his authority that he is representative of God on this earth. No, when we wash each other's feet, we establishing Christ's authority in our life, that He is Lord. He has the highest standing, and we follow His example. This is when we truly humble, putting ourselves under someone's authority. And in this case, we humble ourselves before God. This is what we are doing. This is the essence of it. And many times it's difficult for us because we have our own ideas how it should be done. Many times when people come to church from other churches, from other denominations, when they for the first time hear about service of humility, it's difficult for them because they already form an idea what worship should be like. And the service of humility, service of foot washing, not always fits their picture. It's interesting that this dynamic of authority, every person, every human being goes through. And there is a certain age of rebellion that we all went through. I came across an interesting quote by Mark Twain. Do I pronounce it right? This is what he said about his experience when he was going through this relationship. He said something like this. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. You might smile at it. But this is the dynamic that many teenagers go. There is a point when we think, when we teenagers, that we know better than anybody else. Another, I think it was a bumper sticker for teenagers that get a job, establish your life, get married while you still know something about like this. Because there is a point when we think that we know it well, that we know it all. And there is a certain point in life. And many of us go through life still having this attitude that we know it well, better than everybody else. And we all go through this time in our life. I guess this is the part of growing up. We need to go through the stage. But the dangerous part is when we go through the stage in our relationship with God and we know we never grow out of it. That there is a point when we established ourselves in the church, we've been in church around and we know everything about the church, how church works, how church operates, and our relationship with God become a routine, and we have the same period. And then it's important that we realized, just like Christ's disciples, that He is the Lord. And He is the Lord of our lives. And this is why we do those things. That we will never lose it. This right attitude. And the service of humility, part of the communion is reestablishing once again that Christ is Lord of our lives. He is God and Lord of our lives. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So, recognizing Christ as Lord is doing what he wants us to do. Willing to give up our own ideas sometimes. Following his example, as Christ said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And this is the essence of it. He establishes that he is the Lord. He challenges us at our core to follow his example, to do his will. And then, this is what it's all about. At the end of this Lord's Supper, in verse 33, the same chapter 13, Christ says, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. So Christ, when he is establishing that he is the Lord, when he is taking us through those steps of humility, following his examples, this is the goal. This is where he is leading us. The point that it's what it's all about is learning to love him and love one another. And this is the spirit of Lord's Supper. This is the spirit of communion. Realizing that he's our God, he's our Lord, and that's why we do it. And when we do it, we experience something on a different level, what it means to love one another, what it means to love God truly, not just in words, but in action. Let God speak to our hearts when we be partaking the symbols. Let God move upon our hearts when we will be washing each other's feet, reminding us what he did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we will sing hymn of separation, hymn 316, I just would like to remind us that after singing hymn, we will go downstairs to partake service of humility, to take part in service of humility. And deacons will direct in those rooms for sisters and for brothers accordingly. So let's sing together hymn 316.